Welcome back to Das Kingdom on the Parsha. This week we are doing Parshas Yisro, and the Das Kingdom picks up on a midrash that really always bothered me. I've had many questions on this midrash in Perek Yudches Pasuk Zayin. So the pasuk says that Vayitzei Moshe Likras Chosno, that Moshe went to go greet his father-in-law. Vayishtachu Vayishaklo, it says, and he bowed and he kissed him, then a man asked his friend, they asked each other seemingly how they were doing, asked what their peace was, mashamcha, and they came to the tent. Now, Rashi over here comments that when it says vayishtachu vayishaklo, that he bowed and he kissed him, so Rashi says eni yodeya mi yishtachu velemi. We don't know. I don't know who bowed to whom. Kishahu omer ish l'reyehu, but the pasuk then says ish l'reyehu, a man to his friend. So Rashi says mi hakoroi ish ze Moshe, who is called ish? This is Moshe Rabbeinu Shnemar vayish Moshe. There's a pasuk that says vayish Moshe, Moshe, and the man Moshe was a nov mikol adam at the end of Parshas Baloscha, and therefore Moshe is called the ish. So if we have ish l'reyehu over here, who is the ish? Well, the ish must be Moshe, and therefore we know that it was Moshe who bowed to Yisro and kissed Yisro. So this is it sounds like a very strange midrash. There are a lot of questions you can ask on this. First of all, why we wouldn't just assume it's Moshe, since he's the subject of the previous verb in the pasuk. It says, and Moshe went out to greet his father-in-law, and he bowed and he kissed him, and it didn't change the subject. So maybe you would just assume that it's Moshe. Why would you not? Another question you could ask is that it seems to be that, okay, so this is, we're assuming this is, it says Ish, so Ish is Moshe, because Moshe is once called an Ish, but does that mean that every time we see Ish or Ish L'Reyehu, we should assume it's Moshe? However, there's another question that I had on this Rashi many years ago, and apparently the Das Kingdom asked it first. So the Bali Tosfos here quote Rashi basically verbatim. Interestingly, they say different pasuk that, right, and it says mi hu ha karo ish, who's called man, ze Moshe, this is Moshe shneimar ish ha'elokim, because it says in Sefer Devarim that he's a man of God, ish ha'elokim. So anyway, bottom line is that it calls Moshe a man, but here's the question: v'kasha daha Yisro nami karo ish, says they say the Bali Tosfos are saying that Yisro is also called man, right? Because the pasuk says Vayo Moshe l'sheves esa ish, right? Way back in Parsha Shemos, it says Moshe desired to dwell with the man. He wanted to live with Yisro and the family. So Yisro is also called an ish. So both Yisro and Moshe are called ish. How can you say that the ish l'reyehu is specifically Moshe to Yisro? Maybe it's Yisro to Moshe. Now, the Bali Tosfos here offer three answers to this question, and we're going to have to discuss each one. The first answer is that the pasuk here says ish, not ha-ish, right? It says vayishalu ish l'reyehu, not ha-ish. Yisro is called ha-ish, right? He says vayo Moshe l'sheves es ha-ish. He went to live with the man. And Moshe, he says, is ish ha-elokim, man of God, not ha-ish ha-elokim. Therefore, when we try to identify the word ish in this pasuk, whom is it referring to? Is it referring to Moshe or Yisro? Well, we look who is called ish and who is called ha-ish. Moshe is called ish, Yisro is called ha-ish, therefore this must be Moshe. Now, we have to note that this only works according to the Das Kingdom, which quotes the pasuk of ish ha-elokim. However, Rashi says that the pasuk that shows that Moshe is a man is v'ha'ish Moshe anav mikaldam, where it calls Moshe ha'ish. And we should note that Rashi is quoting Mechilta and the Mechilta itself. You look, I looked up the text of the Mechilta. Also, it says this pasuk v'ha'ish Moshe. So according to the first answer of the Das Kingdom, Rashi and the Mechilta that he's quoting, could be Das Kingdom had a different source, it could be it's an error in the Das Kingdom, I'm not sure. But according to this answer, or according to Rashi in the text of the Mechilta that we have, this answer would not work, because It says, the pasuk calls Moshe ha'ish, and it calls Yisro ha'ish, and our pasuk over here, Vayishal ish l'rehu, is not ha'ish, so that wouldn't work. Now, they offer a second answer, which is also going to be involved in this discussion. They say, Oni Shlomar, Shemoshe nikr ish samach l'shmo, but there's another place where it says Moshe next to ha'ish. It says ha'ish Moshe. So now they quote, at the source that Rashi and Michilta say, that it says v'ha'ish Moshe. And over here, it doesn't say that by Yisro, where it has the name next to ha'ish. I mean, it seems to be that they're saying that because it says v'ha'ish Moshe, it's teaching us that Moshe is ish. Moshe is the man. However, Yisro doesn't say Yisro is the ish. It just says the Yisro, so it's not a descriptive term. The Sifsei Chacham happened to also say something similar to this. I think it's explaining a little bit differently. It could be the same idea. But the Sifsei Chachamim says that because Moshe, his name is mentioned in the pasuk, so it doesn't have to say ish Moshe. Meaning, when it says that Moshe wanted to live with the man, so it's the man instead of Yisro. It could have said the man. It could have said Yisro, but when it says the man Moshe was the Nav Mikol Adam, so the man is superfluous. And if it's superfluous, then you could use it for a drasha. The drasha would be that Moshe is referred to as the man. So if you have a case where you have Ish L'Rehu, one of them is going to be Moshe, it might be Moshe, it might be Yisro, then it'll be Moshe who will be identified as the man. Which, by the way, I think can address one of the questions we asked earlier, which is that the drasha isn't saying that whenever you see the word Ish in the Torah, it's referring to Moshe. It's just saying that in our situation, we have two men. We're not sure which one is called the Ish and which one is not. There's a 50-50 chance it's Moshe, it's Yisro, who knows? So we have an indication from other places in the Torah, whether Ish Elokim or more likely Ish Moshe, that indicates that if there's a possibility it might be Moshe, then it is Moshe. If you're 50-50, you're not sure, then you should assume it is Moshe. Finally, they quote a third possibility, which is based on one of their earlier comments in Yud Ches Aleph in the beginning of the parsha, as in the first pasuk of the parsha, which is that perhaps this midrash is in accordance with the opinion that they quote there, that Reuel was actually Yisro's father. Right? It's not so clear that Reuel is Yisro. It could be Reuel is Yisro's father. And he's in the picture, and he's the one that Yisro's daughters ran to. They ran to their grandfather, and Rashi comments there. It could be, he refers to the father as their grandfather as the father as well. And if that's the case, say the Baalei Tosfos, then it could very well be that when it says Moshe wanted to live with the man, it's not referring to Yisro, it's referring to Reuel. If that's the case, then only Moshe is called a man. Yisro is not called a man anywhere in the Torah, and therefore we should assume Vayishalo Ish L'Rehu is referring to Moshe, who reached out and was more proactive in this encounter with Yisro. And perhaps the purpose of all of this, just to address one of the earlier questions, why would we think it's anybody but Moshe? What's going on here? Why is it vague? Why do we need the drasha to get here about Ish Moshe? Why do we have to have that? And it could be, the answer is that we would assume, even though maybe based on the simple reading, right, it says Moshe went out to greet his father-in-law, and then it says he bowed and he kissed him. But perhaps we would assume that there's no way that Moshe would be the one to be bowing. Moshe, a man of Moshe's stature, is basically the melech of Klal Yisrael, the savior. He shouldn't be bowing to anybody, especially not an idolater or even former idolater. So perhaps there's compelling reason to believe that it is not Moshe who is bowing over here. Nevertheless, we have the drasha of Ish Moshe, and as Michilta says, we learn from here that you have to show honor to your in-laws. And it could be indeed the pasuk actually keeps it a little bit vague to maybe show a little bit more kavod to Moshe, to not say explicitly that Moshe bowed, to like keep it a little bit vague for Moshe's own honor. However, Moshe himself wasn't makbid on his honor when it was up against his father-in-law's honor, and he wished to honor him and bow and kiss him. And just one more super quick point: the pasuk that we quote is "Va'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam," and Moshe, the man, was humble from all the other people. Rashi doesn't go that far; he just says "Va'ish Moshe." We know that it continues to say that he is very humble. And it could be that that's also what's going on here, that it was not just that, you know, Moshe was bound, but it was Moshe's humility that's demonstrated. Who's called the humble man? Not just Vayishalu Yisrael, who's called the man, but who's called the man who's the most humble person? Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though he's the leader of Klal Yisrael, he's the savior, he's the king, but when his father-in-law comes, he humbles himself and bows before him, and that really makes Moshe the man.